It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. An explosive report this week from the USA Today Network Wisconsin revealed that thousands of rape kits have gone untested in the state, largely because of police apathy and blunders. Keegan Kyle is the investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin who wrote the report on untested rape kits, and he joins us this morning. Keegan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
We do want your reaction to this on callers, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Did you read Keegan's story that came out a couple of days ago? What is your reaction to this? Are you a medical professional who helps people that are victims of sexual assaults? Do you work for a law enforcement agency? 1-800-642-1234. You could also email ideas@wpr.org. So, Keegan, this report is based on 3 years of work and hundreds of documents. What did you discover were the reasons that Wisconsin rape kits were not tested?
Well, the reasons long ago can really vary case by case. Early on, while this backlog was first discovered in 2014 and while we were first trying to understand it, a lot of officials focused on the role of victim choices in untested rape kits. So maybe victims were telling law enforcement that they did not want to have their rape kits tested or they did not wish to proceed with charges. Another common explanation back then was that law enforcement just felt there was not a need to test the kit because they already had a known suspect. So there was this thinking that there was no reason to really analyze this rape kit for DNA because you already knew who the person was.
But that person may have raped somebody else, and if you don't do a DNA test, then you don't know that.
Exactly. So both of those reasons since then have really fell into the background. Data analyzed from Wisconsin's rape kits backlog has shown that victim choice actually played a minority role in most of the untested kits. In fact, law enforcement decisions have been attributed to the reason that most of the kits were left untested. And now authorities really accept the idea that even in cases involving rape kits with known suspects, those kits should be tested for DNA because it can help reveal suspects in other cases, or it can often help reveal serial rapists by kind of linking cases together through DNA.
How many victims are we talking about here?
The state first discovered more than 6,000 kits back in 2014. That number has since swelled to about 6,800 kits. About a little over 4,000 of those kits are now being tested in private labs hired by the state, and also some kits are being tested in state labs. But the vast majority are being tested in private lab.
And why in the last 2 years have these kits now gotten tested? Or what happened to kind of jumpstart the testing here?
Sure. The critical step was really the state got $4 million in grants from the federal government and New York prosecutors back in September 2015. And that really started the state on its mission. It hired a small team of agents, prosecutors, and analysts to help start to really research and study the rape kits, and then to collect those rape kits from law enforcement agencies and hospitals and ship them off to labs for testing.
So, as I understand from your piece, this kind of became a problem because the grants they got they couldn't get the money until law enforcement actually sent the rape kits off for testing, and law enforcement wasn't necessarily doing that, and so they weren't getting the money, right?
Right. So this is a key early delay in the process. The state underestimated how complex researching all of these rape kits was going to be and how long that was going to take, and to some degree how much cooperation they were going to get from local law enforcement agencies when they went out and asked for information about all these kits. So there are more than 500 local law enforcement agencies in the state, so this is a huge undertaking. And the state went out and asked all of these agencies to go into their storage rooms and count the number of untested kits sitting on shelves, and also to collect some basic case information about all those kits so the state could prioritize which one should be tested first. And initially, the state gave all these agencies deadlines to come back with this information, and more than 300 police agencies, so more than half of the police agencies in the state, failed to complete their inventories by even the state's extended deadline in July 2016. And it wasn't really until even by October 2016, some agencies still had not completed their inventories, which was holding up testing for the entire state. So the state made extraordinary effort and went to its grant funders and received special approval to start testing kits while the tardy inventories continued to roll in.
So you start your story talking about a Wisconsin Justice Department investigator trying to get in touch with one particular police department to get them to answer when they were going to send their kits in, and he couldn't even do that. Talk to me about that.
Sure. This was an episode that kind of was laid out in email exchanges between a state agent and a county deputy in western Wisconsin. And like I said, the state had this small team of agents whose job was to really help agencies complete their inventories and to count these kits. And this agent was emailing back and forth with this deputy to try to drive up 2 hours to this deputy station to go and help him count the kits to collect this valuable case information. And the deputy just said he was out of the office or he was not around and couldn't help. And they ended up going back and forth over emails for several weeks because they just could not find a time that this state agent could come and help them count the kits. And I think this was an important episode in illustrating why thousands of rape kits across Wisconsin ended up being delayed from testing. And it was because these types of situations were playing out across the state.
We are talking to Keegan Kyle, who wrote a pretty explosive report for USA Today Network Wisconsin on the number of untested rape kits. We're taking your calls this hour, 1-800-642-1234. Keegan, you noted in your piece that the Wisconsin Department of Justice investigators said that police attitudes toward the victims were, quote unquote, frightening. Can you give us some more specifics on that?
Sure. A lot of this stemmed from attitudes around whether victims were credible or not credible. And there continue to be concerns that some of the rape kits were left untested because investigators were looking at testimony from victims and looking at really not recognizing signs of trauma as trauma, and rather looking at signs of trauma like changing stories or having new memories pop up a week later.
Unreliable witnesses.
As these people then becoming unreliable witnesses. And so as the state was kind of researching untested rape kits and why rape kits were shelved long ago, this was happening hundreds of times where police agencies were continuing to tell the state, we left this kit untested because it was an unreliable victim or it was an uncooperative victim. And at some point, this raised enough alarm among the state that when they sought additional federal funding for this project, they raised that concern with federal authorities and sought funding to help expand their training of modern investigations of sexual assault and how to approach sexual assault investigations with the best known practices. So now the state received federal funding to go out and try to improve more contemporarily how investigators are looking at sexual assault cases.
And are police organizations cooperating with this?
I think so. From agencies that I've talked to, there's been a lot recently, there's been a lot of acceptance of this idea that there needs to be more conscious effort to work with victims, to incorporate advocates into that setting, to really understand victims. There's also been, I think, an awakening a little bit about what DNA from these rape kits can do and how it can help sexual assault cases. So even a decade ago, even in just the past decade, there's been a pretty dramatic shift in how law enforcement agencies look at DNA in cases. A decade ago, the state would often look at DNA as kind of a tool for confirmation.
I got to cut you off here, Keegan. We are talking about rape kits in Wisconsin that had gone untested for a long time. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. We are talking this morning about with Keegan Kyle, who is who just wrote an investigative piece for USA Today Network's Wisconsin on untested rape kits. Keegan, talk to me about the role of State Attorney General Brad Schimel.
Sure. So Brad Schimel came into office in January 2015. At that time, the backlog had already been discovered, and he faced a decision about what to do about it. And at the same time, in early 2015, state lawmakers were deciding what to do about the state budget and state spending needs. Brad Schimel at that time decided to really wait and see what would happen with applications for federal grants to fund the testing of rape kits, rather than seek state funding from lawmakers, as authorities have done in other states. And that decision really set up a number of consequences that have since unfolded, among them being what we talked about with the police inventories. The grants that the state received in September 2015 required that these inventories be completed. So that meant that a lot of testing couldn't really begin until that ambitious project was done. And it was steps like that that kind of set up that then restricted the state's ability to kind of test rape kits quickly. The other thing that kind of became critical as the process unfolded is that the Attorney General really restricted resources for the effort to grant-funded work. So he didn't spend state dollars for, you know, lab overtime to test kits back in 2015, or he didn't spend existing Department of Justice resources. He really limited the project to what was available through grant funding. And a similar decision faced him again in 2017 when lawmakers came back to decide the state budget again. He again did not seek state resources to aid the project, limiting kind of the pace of the project and funding for the project to the availability of federal grants, which the state did continue to receive. So to date, the state has received $7.1 million to aid in the testing of thousands of rape kits and also to fund an array of related initiatives like the training of law enforcement.
And did he give you and the Wisconsin Justice Department conflicting statements about what had happened to those rape kits?
Yes. So back in 2017, there were, as the delays in the project really became clear publicly, the Attorney General faced a lot of criticism, and he made a number of blunders in how many kits had been tested. So first and most famously in January 2017, he said that hundreds of kits had been tested when, in fact, only nine had been tested. And then several months later at a public hearing, he really struggled to provide an update on how many kits had been tested, and one of his aides had to step in and provide the correct figure. These were moments when the Attorney General was put in the spotlight on what was happening with rape kits, and just didn't come out as I'm sure he would have hoped.
So he didn't know how many had been tested. He didn't want to go after state money to test them. It sounds to me like he didn't really think that this was an important issue.
I don't know, because So Brett Schimmel's background is he came from a Waukesha County district attorney as a sensitive crimes prosecutor. Hmm. He personally prosecuted a lot of sexual assault cases, and he has consistently, since 2015, called himself a champion for testing rape kits and an advocate for victims of sexual assault. So I think the issue is very important to him, but the project just became much more complex, and the state was not prepared to really respond to it as it initially set out.
In the last minute that we have with you, 4,000 kits have been tested. Are suspects being arrested? Are some people being exonerated? What's going on here?
Yes. So the figures are a little different. So nearly 1,900 kits have been tested. Those have been completed. Another 2,200 kits remain in labs under testing. So those are still awaiting testing or waiting for the results to be confirmed. There have been two prosecutions in Winnebago County and Waupaca County that are underway. There have been no other arrests, to my knowledge, related to this, which is a bit surprising because back in 2015, the state estimated that there would be more than 750 hits with DNA matches as a result of this testing project that would require investigative follow-up. And there have been many arrests and prosecutions in other states as a result of similar testing efforts.
Keegan Kyle is an investigative reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. He reported on the backlog of rape kits and why that backlog happened. Keegan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
It's the Morning Show.